You want the good news, you want the bad news?
I don't like either one of those options.
Your words are super wise, man.
You are a prophet. You deserve a prophet.
You do whatever you want. Who am I to tell you what to do?
But you're a psychologist.
Well, I know less than you do.
You're making me a better parent and a better wife, and thank God you're on the radio.
What planet are you on? I don't buy any of that stuff.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
What are you talking about?
You make my afternoon really fun. Enjoy ya.
You're about the most exciting thing I have right now.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
I had a happy hour yesterday. Happy hour. I went to the couch, took a nap for an hour. Pretty happy. I was unconscious during it. Nice to have you here. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi, program The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock. That is the time. I've had a few folks say, I listen to you all the time, and I tell them, I don't even listen to me all the time. How can you do that? But I appreciate it. If you would like to get onto the program so we can talk together, 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. Is the number to call to get onto the program. The reason for that is up to you. It can be a question about something in your life. Now, I was at the office this morning, because that's professionally what I do, psychologist. Here on the program, we could just talk a little bit, maybe educate something about your life. Some way you want to help somebody else. A lot of people call in with a lot of the nice perspectives that I gather up, and every so often just put them in a book and make a whole lot of money, and I just want to thank you folks for that. Putting my kids through college. Grateful to you. Or if you have a generic kind of question, something that you've been wrestling with, you don't understand about psychology, or as psychology intersects with faith, or as life intersects with faith, that is perfectly fine, and I will attempt to meander my way through that with some kind of substantive, respectable IQ answer. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. I did a monologue about this probably 2 years ago. Well, maybe it was last week. I don't know. Tattoos. When I was growing up, the only people who had tattoos were ex-military, somebody who served in World War II, or perhaps Korean, or maybe members of motorcycle gangs. That was pretty much it. The tattoo essentially indicated something about you that, by and large, was, well, if you want to say manly in that sense of the word. I would imagine right now, just from my informal observation, that in the under 30 or 35 age group, if you don't have a tattoo, you're in the minority. If you want to rebel, see, back then, if you wanted to rebel, you got a tattoo. Now, if you want to rebel, you don't get a tattoo. Man or woman. It led to some thoughts I have about tattoos, just a few things. Thomas Sowell, who's, I think, a brilliant historian, columnist, he has random thoughts on the passing scene. I have random thoughts on tattoos. First thing that strikes me is they are a major indicator of how sheep-like we are. Something becomes high profile in our society, in our culture. There is a rush to imitate it. And it isn't just necessarily tattoos. It can be anything. Chic cultural fads, whether they're social, whether they're behavioral, whether they're emotional, whatever they are, whether they're attitudinal, whether they're moral, immoral, quickly ripple through. Nah, they tsunami through our culture. I think tattoos are a classic example of this. They've just become something that is, well, what you do. You get a tattoo. Dr. A, you're simplifying it. I said that's one component. These observations may have various levels of accuracy. They're speculations. But I do believe that there is a sheepish component, sheep-like component, to tattoos. They are culturally cool now. I think that's one. A second one isn't so obvious. When I was 27, I think World War II had just ended, I remember thinking in unconsciously that I would always be 27. When you're young like that, you just think you're going to be young forever. And one day you wake up and you're not young anymore. But when you were young, that's how you saw yourself. So when you're young and you get a tattoo, you think that's what it's going to be because you're going to be young forever and it's going to look like that forever. And tattoo artists will tell you they fade. They fade rather quickly. They bleed rather quickly. The sharpness of them changes over time. They're nowhere near as they become like almost ink blots, psychologically speaking. But because you think you're going to be 23 forever, 18 forever, 27 forever, you get a tattoo. It's always going to look like that. It's not always going to look like that. You know, someday when you're 80 years old, that chain that you had tattooed around your biceps is going to look like a rusted picket fence. That's the first thing. Second thing, I think it indicates that this youthfulness you think you're going to have forever, and the tattoo represents that. It's going to be crisp and clean. Three, I think the tattoo is a byproduct of the self-esteem movement. The tattoo says, here's why I'm unique. Here's why I'm different. Here's what the tattoo means. This is why I got this. Look at my tattoo. Look at me. Oh, come on, Dr. Ray, you're stretching this too far. I didn't say that was the case for everybody. I think it's the case for some. The tattoos are a statement about my uniqueness, my specialness. Dr. Ray, there are those people who get tattoos because they commemorate something. They have the name of a loved one who passed away. They have the birth date of someone who means the world to them. They have a flower that was their grandmother's favorite flower. I got that. They are expressions of something important in your life. I know someone who has the tattoo of their dog on them. Their dog's name, anyway. Dog has since passed away. So, yes, tattoos speak a lot. They speak of, I think, the sheep-like component of who we are. Follow the crowd. They speak of a look at me, look at me, look what I got, look what I can say, look what I do, isn't this cool? They've got that. They've got I'm going to be young and tattooish forever. And when I'm 55 and that thing on my arm or wherever or that sleeve or whatever it is kind of hard to make out now. It's not as bright, it's not as vibrant, the boundaries aren't quite as crisp. Well, I didn't think about that when I was 27. Because I just thought I was going to be 27. And then there are, I think, a minority who have some emotional expression attached to the tattoo. But I think maybe the best way to put this, if you wanted to put a title on this particular monologue, Me Too Tattoo. I think that says it. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. I want to hear from you. I'm Dr. Ray.
Weingarts, everything from lawn to snow.
Hi, I'm Dan Weingarts. Our family is celebrating 75 years of helping families like yours choose the right power equipment for your lawn. Our experts will help you choose the right product from top brands like Steel. From legendary chainsaws, dependable trimmers, and powerful blowers, a Steel is designed for reliability and built for the long haul. Visit us to see the full Steel line at Weingarts.com.
Weingarts, everything from lawn to snow.
Hi friends, Teresa Tomeo here. Looking back over the past that I've been with this amazing radio station, Ave Maria Radio, I think one of my most special memories most moving moments was early on when we were doing one of our fall membership drives. And as you know, the membership drives are exhausting, they're exhilarating, they can be a lot of fun, but they can be also very frustrating and tiring, especially when you're right at the verge of making the goal and you're waiting till that very last minute for that call to come in that will put us over the top, that we don't have to come back and do another drive, or they won't have to worry about where the extra money is going to come from. Well, this particular fall membership drive, at the very last minute, we received a call from a young man. I'll never forget the name because it's the same name as my husband. His name was Dominic. And he had decided, because he was listening with his family, that he was going to take all the money that he earned over the summer months. He was hoping to get a new bike, something like between $400 and $500. That's a lot of money for a little boy. I think he was only 10 or 11 years old. But he decided that he was going to give his money to the radio station so we could meet our goal, as opposed to buying something for himself. And it was a very emotional moment for all of us. And I thought, wow, that was one of the most moving, endearing moments that I can remember being here at Ave Maria Radio, when a child decided to make a sacrifice to keep Catholic radio on the air. Amen to that.
Join us to meet your favorite Ave Maria Radio hosts. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to learn about our historic 25-year event.
Good to have you with me, Dr. Ray Guarendi. Program number 877-573-7825. Would love to hear from you. If you have a comment or opinion or a question, too, about tattoos, Me Too Tattoo, feel free to call in. Or a question about something that matters to you in your life that is important. And yes, want to hear another voice or perspective. And sometimes my perspective makes you feel better, and you know why? Because you're thinking to yourself, okay, that's all that guy has to offer? That's it? Well, I can do that. And I just want to tell you that when I do that, I do it deliberately to make you feel very confident in your own judgment. One more thing about the tattoos. I would like to go to, right now, 35-year-old people who have had a tattoo for 10 years. And I would like to ask them, are you glad or do you regret that you got a tattoo? Wouldn't that be a fascinating survey? Has anybody seen a survey like this, where we ask people of 10 or more year tattoo wearing, what is your perspective on that now? And I have a caller up there that I definitely want to talk to her, because she has taught college for 30-plus years, and she still is articulate and reasonable and logical. God bless her. Can I go to Marine yet? In the sec, he's still talking. See, he gets to talk to all the people I want to talk to, and I have to wait till he's done. All right. Hi, Marine.
Hey, what you doing?
Well, right now I'm sitting here sipping my Coke and listening to you.
Oh, good, good, good. I'm 66, and I taught college for 33 years, and I saw all the things that the kids went through, you know, and first tongue piercings and then the tattoos. And I now, in my elderly years, have thought that tattoos may be appropriate for old people. I would like a tattoo on my left arm that says left, and on my right arm that says right, on my left leg that says left, my right leg that says right. And
how did you know I have that?
Down my, well, I've never seen you that intimately, down my sternum, I really am thinking of getting, I am a Catholic, in case of an emergency, call a priest.
Right there,
but
on the sternum,
so
huh?
Long.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, right. But, you know, like, just down the sternum. They wouldn't take time to read it. They just grab the saw and start cutting. I may be unconscious.
Maureen, of all the things that have come and gone that you've seen,
yes.
and all basically kind of Me Too stuff,
yes.
are the tattoos most pervasive of anything you've seen?
Usually they're a symbol of some sort that I don't recognize, or it'll be a number that means something to them that I don't know what that means, but you're right. It is a way of finding your herd in a crowd.
That's well put. Now,
yeah.
Given all that, what percentage of kids that you taught, that you knew anyway, didn't have
yeah.
tattoos?
I would say probably maybe 15% did not have a tattoo somewhere.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, even if they're little, like on their ankle, I'm counting those too, you know?
Yeah,
but I mean, there were kids that would come in with a whole tattoo across their back. You know, just all the way down their back. And, I taught art, so a lot of times the kids would design their own, too. But it never said Nexium.
Yeah. Well, isn't it interesting? Because you have to wonder 40 years from now what those things will look like.
Oh, they're going to be wrinkled up. I mean, if I did get a tattoo, they would first have to stretch the skin out to be. It'd look like the papyrus. It'd be the scrolls that they're finding in the desert.
What did they'd you teach? What did you teach?
Art.
You are a hoot.
Well, so are you. That's why I'm comfortable. I mean, one hoot to another. You know, usually I come across this way, and people just think, well, she's crazy, but that's okay.
No, hey, they're not professionally allowed to say that like I am.
That is true.
So far, I see no indication of that.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
Okay. And get that tattooed on you. I'm not crazy.
No, I thought if I ever had chemo and my hair had to go, I'd get a light bulb tattooed right on my head. Well, that's the other thing they all say. They say, I just figured it out. The light bulb just went off. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about?
Maureen, thank you for the call.
The bomb goes off. The light bulb goes on. Okay, bye, dear.
Call again. Bye. Now, you know, she called me dear, and I like that. She said, bye, dear. And I'm thinking, how sweet, how kind of her. That's very nice. Denise from L.A., well, Louisiana, but I did L.A. Hi, Denise.
Hi. Hi, dear.
Thank you. Everybody loves me today. you think tattoos are a good way to evangelize? How is that?
Well, if you get a tattoo of a cross and someone asks you about it, you have the opportunity to minister to them. Start a conversation. That is the only tattoo I would get. I don't have any. I made 63 today, but I've promised myself if I live to be 90, I'm going to get a tattoo, and that's the tattoo I'm going to get.
Are you advising someone to do that if they want to evangelize?
No. I'm just saying it's an opportunity.
What if they just simply wore a crucifix and they wore it on the outside of their clothes?
Any way you want to do it. But okay. I've never had someone start a conversation with me because I'm wearing my cross. But I have started conversations with people who have tattoos because I'm curious as to why. Okay?
Okay.
So if I have a tattoo of a cross, then someone might be curious why, and then that gives me the opportunity or opens the door to minister. Like, it's just another way.
I could see the potential there. There are a certain percentage, I'd say maybe 5% of the people that I see where I work out that do have some kind of Christian symbol or even a verse tattooed on their arm, their back, their chest, their neck, somewhere that's visible, that they have. It's possible. I wouldn't rule that out. Good observation, Denise. I'll see you at the tattoo parlor.
You got one more thing to tell
me. Yeah?
It's my birthday. Tell me one more thing.
Let me think. No, I'm a male, and I've been accused of not being able to pick up what people are saying to me. Birthday, Denise. Let me think. Thanks for calling. No, that's not it. Let's see. Hope you have a good day. No, that's not it. God bless you. No. Oh, Andrew just typed in. Tell Denise happy birthday.
Ding, ding, ding. Thank you.
He said that. Denise, happy birthday to you, dear. You know what? Now, I remember I had a birthday recently, and there were 60-some candles on the cake, and that was the piece I had.
Okay. Here's my deal.
Yeah.
I'm 63. Right?
Mm-hmm.
However,
well, I don't know that. I'm just taking your word for it.
I'm telling you. Okay. But what I tell people is that I'm 36.
A little bit of a learning disability there with numbers, huh?
There you go.
Atta girl. Well, go put up 63 and go to the mirror and hold it up. There you go. You get the same thing.
There you go.
All right.
Thank you so much, dear.
I'll talk to you. Thanks. I got two dears all the way. Thanks, Denise. Okay, John, Lincoln, Nebraska. Not yet? Okay, well, I'll go to Shane then. Shane from Oregon. He says, tattoos also physically have an effect on the body. And the question becomes, does that defile the body? Hi, Shane, how are you?
Oh, just fine. Love your show there.
Thank you. I'm gonna have that tattooed on my arm. It's gonna say, Catholic Radio. Now, maybe not. Maybe.
Well, that would be okay, and maybe even a cross. But I think it defiles the temple of the Lord. It's kind of like putting the scars on yourself, or you're supposed to respect the body. That's my position.
Well, Jane, what if somebody says, do you not pierce ears? Do you not dye hair? Anything
okay,
else?
Dye hair, maybe. Pierce ears, I'm a guy. I never did it.
Well, what about the women who do it?
Oh, it is a trend. It's been going on for years and years. And there's always, even the Indians put makeup on and stuff like that. I don't know how far you take these things. I just never liked the idea of somebody putting tattoos on them because they're permanent. Ear piercing is pretty permanent.
Yeah, you can. I guess the question becomes: first of all, the church would say there's nothing immoral about a tattoo.
What do you think the Lord? What do you think the Lord would say?
Well,
say
I think
the church.
I think the church has the authority to speak for the Lord because He gave it to him. But
okay.
I think it would come down to what does the tattoo say? If I put a tattoo on me as a Christian that says Satan rules, I think that
would
be a real problem. Okay.
God forbid on that
right.
one.
So I think it all comes down to the message of the tattoo, what it is expressing. But tattoo in and of itself isn't anything immoral, and the church, first of all, they don't comment on that. If it were, they would say something in a teaching way, because that's what the church does. As society comes and goes with its ideas and its attitudes and its practices, the church oftentimes has to give guidance. They do. I mean, in our Lord's day, I'm sure there weren't many tattoos out there. It just didn't happen.
But it seemed like your position was that you were against it.
I think it's dumb in the main. I do. I don't think it's immoral.
And some people really take it too far. I mean, there are people who put the great big eagle on their chest.
Yeah.
To me, that's gone too far.
Thank you, Shane. This is Dr. Ray, 877.
You have a great day. Thanks.
Thanks, sir. 877-57 equal. That's the number. Tattoo that on your refrigerator. I got a microphone. I'm not afraid to use it. Thanks for joining me here on The Doctor's Zone. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Not a real doctor. PhD. Postal digger. Putterer in the history of Denmark. Pizza Hut driver. My favorite, permanent head damage. John from Lincoln, Nebraska. He says, I don't see any problem here whatsoever. Hi, John.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, so with the tattoos, the ones that I like is that, you know, when people get married, they tattoo their ring fingers so that they never lose their ring, so that they can always say, yeah, you know, they're married. I think that's great.
What happens if somehow that marriage is no longer?
Well, I mean, you can always get a tattoo removed. It's painful, but, you know, I mean,
you got to kind of try it.
It is what it is, right?
So you're saying...
I was just calling in to say that I'm not really religious in many ways or anything like that, so, but I like that, the idea of getting a ring tattoo. I like that.
Well, let me put you this way, John. If you get married, I think your wife would be very, very glad if you had a real ring on that finger. I think she'd probably be real nervous about the fact you say, well, look, I just want to tattoo it. I really don't want the ring.
I don't know. You can take a ring off anytime you want, but if it's tattooed to your skin, it's going to be kind of hard.
Okay, John. Hey, thank you. I never thought about it that way. Thank you, sir. Got Nate. Nate says, okay, I'm 35. I got these things when I was how old, Nate?
I was 19 when I got my very first tattoo.
When you say very first, you must have multiple.
Pardon?
When you say my very first, you must have multiple.
I do, yes. I've got a half sleeve on my right arm and a couple tattoos on my left. And it was on my upper left that I got my very first. And at age 19, and my last tattoos was when I was 32. And now I look at them and I'm like, I just wish that I can get rid of them. But I've got more than what would be more comfortable getting them removed.
What is it that made you have this regret?
Because it's a cultural norm. It's the cultural norm to have a tattoo. To actually be against culture, to be counterculture, if you want to be expressive, you be tattooless.
And that's true.
Sitting in the tattoo artist's room, you know, I've seen the people that get tattoos and are in there, and I'm not saying I'm above them. I'm not, because that's ridiculous, and I also don't want you getting so many phone calls from people saying, hey, I've got tattoos. What is this guy talking about? It's just, I don't know. I feel like maybe I made a mistake spending the money that I did, because I could have, you know, if I get into my Christian faith, I could have taken that money that I spent on decorating my body and given it to charity, or I could have used it for my family, but instead I ended up using it as expressive art on my skin, and, you know, honestly, I'm not happy. I felt depressed after getting them. It was just the weirdest feeling in the world.
How much money do you think you have in the tattoos?
Probably close to $750 to $850. I got really lucky that I got a tattoo artist for my half sleeve. He just really wanted the tattoo, so he cut me a pretty decent deal on it. But I just think the $800 or however much could have gone for something so much better.
Okay. Well, I got a feeling that you're not alone in looking back and saying, okay, I was 19, what was I thinking? I'm 35 now, and I would just like to have my skin there by itself. All righty. I appreciate that. Thank you. Mike from Florida says, Dr. A, you're wrong. You're just wrong. They do not fade. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Dr. Bragg. How are you?
Okay. Tell me about this.
I was listening to your monologue, and I was kind of laughing to myself because I haven't seen a tattoo fade probably from the 40s or 50s, so I don't know who you're looking at, but the tattoos today, they stay on pretty well, and they're very sharp. I got a bunch of them on me. I have St. Michael on my chest, crushing the devil. You know, I have 9/11. I have my children, my parents. You know, so everything I got has a little story behind it.
Okay. Well, I was unaware of this, that the technology of tattoos has gotten sophisticated, and therefore they're less likely to fade. Now, the last I had heard from people that I had talked to that were knowledgeable in this area, they said, no, there's a certain amount of bleeding, there's a certain amount of fading. And even if not, Mike, even if not, the skin changes. The skin becomes more loose. There are differences. I noticed this even in when I was 30 years old and lifting weights, the skin around my bicep was very tight. It's not as tight as it was, that's for sure. All righty. Real quick, Mary Ellen, she got her first tattoo at 48. That was 22 years ago. And she says, Dr. A, this is a personal expression. Hi, Mary Ellen.
Hi, doctor. How are you today? I am just walking in the door. Can you just wait 1 second till I let myself in?
Sure. Go on in there, dear.
I'm locking the wrong lock. The reason I'm calling in, I came in the middle of a conversation about tattoos. I got my first tattoo at 48 years old. And I got it in an obscure place because it's very small. It's a shooting star. And after that, I got another tattoo because I believe, too, that it is an expression of something. And I am expressing myself through my tattoos. I have a tattoo of Popeye on my shoulder blade. And people ask me, well, why Popeye? So I thought I needed to elaborate on that. So I did.
Your motive, Mary Ellen, is the motive of I don't know what percentage of people. Many tattoos are artwork, and they don't necessarily express something personal. They just express some piece of art or some design that someone likes and wants. So I would really be curious to know what percentage of folks who have tattoos, and this would be, again, something for a PhD researcher to go look at, what percentage of the folks would be someone that says, I did this because this is an expression of some aspect of my history, my personality, my life. Interesting. And I got to admit,
that's what my Popeye is. And that is exactly what Popeye is. Because Wednesday, what my elaboration was, I had a priest tell me, Mary Ellen, you fly by the seat of your pants.
Well.
And I always said, I am who I am.
There you go. Thank you. Well, I'll tell you what, you folks have all manner of opinions and observations. We'll get to as many as we can. I'm Dr. Ray. You people sure do have opinions. Wow. If I were to gauge this, it looks like it's more toward the don't as toward the do. And there are some questions up there, some comments up there that are risky because they touch upon male versus female in the tattoos. Where are we going to be at here? I want to see. Okay. Lisa from Sandusky is 33. I did not know what memento mori is until they told me, which is a reminder of death. interesting. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Now, why would you get a memento mori, and what would it look like?
Well, I actually was considering getting one before my friend passed away last November, and it was going to be kind of the traditional symbol with the skulls and maybe fruit, like in medieval art. And but my friend, she passed away last November, and some of the, she was an artist, and some of the art that she did was she would draw decomposing rabbits. And I was thinking about doing her rabbits on my arm.
Why would you do that? Why?
Well, it's just like with, so when I look at, I wear religious shirts a lot, and I look at it, and it's just kind of like a daily reminder about my prayers and that I'm going to, you know, someday I'm going to die, you know? And
is there some
I
other way,
have
Lisa,
a momentum
to, is there some other way to remind yourself?
Yeah, there's lots of different ways, but I just thought this was a good one, you know, and even more fitting it would be, you know, as my skin starts to wrinkle and change, and I'm, you know, I don't know, I just thought, you know, I've been, you know, I haven't gotten any tattoos, you know, I'm 33, you know, it's, and mostly because, you know, I have an idea for one, and then it just passes, you know, over a year, and, you know, this one's been lingering for a long time, so I just thought, you know, and then my friend, you know, her passing and wanting
to
kind of...
What if you're determined to do that, what if you got something in short that reminded you of your mortality but was more scripturally based as opposed to some kind of macabre secular sign?
Well, it's not secular. I mean, the memento mori is... You know, those paintings were religious. You know, it's a Latin phrase. You know, so it's very Catholic.
But it is reflective of paintings.
Well, they're like medieval art, but it was done, you know, as a memento mori was a very it was Christian. It was like they were trying to remind themselves of death. Remind themselves of the end, because that's what we all die, you know, and that helps, I think, motivate people to think about what comes after, you know. So that's the point behind it, is just remembering your own death, kind of like Ash Wednesday, you know, you get the ashes on your forehead and remember your death.
You know what you could do? You could tattoo ashes on your forehead.
I would think that would be more dramatic, or, you know, than what I want to do.
All right, Lisa. Thank you for your call.
Thanks, Dr. Ray.
You educated me on that. Knew nothing about that. All righty. Thank you.
All right.
Susan from Texas. Very, very, very prejudiced against tattoos. However, she survived breast cancer. And she says she had to get a tattoo for it. You had to get a tattoo, Susan?
Hi, Dr. Ray.
You had to get a tattoo?
Well, it was a part of my breast reconstruction. I'm a breast cancer survivor, and I was diagnosed with a very aggressive breast cancer when I was 48. I expected to be dead by the time I was 50. I will be a 19-year survivor come August, so... I guess God's not done with me. But yes, I've always been very prejudiced against tattoos. I don't go around screaming, that's ugly, that's against the Bible. But that's where it stems from. You know, it says in the Old Testament not to defile the body with tattoos. The pagans did that. And it was a medical tattoo. I had the benefit of anesthesia, local anesthesia, when the nurse who was trained to do the tattoo to complete the breast so it would look like the other one, and insurance paid for it, which was really kind of weird. And I laugh about it every once in a while that I, who am prejudiced against tattoos, have one. And I will say, mine has faded away. I'm going to have to redo it. Now, I don't know if that's because it's flesh-colored. Maybe if, you know, I had done it in black or red or something, it would have lasted. But it faded to nothing about 5 years ago.
Susan, it sounds like yours, unless I misunderstand you, it sounded like yours was something that was a medical necessity, so to speak. Yeah, it was a reconstruction kind of thing.
Right, and it was paid for by insurance, and I'm assuming since I was given lidocaine, so I would have no discomfort with the tattoo, that tattoos are painful. And when
they
look at people that have their whole body done, I'm like, wow, how do they do that?
I got you. Well, Susan, thank you. Yours is a very different case, but I do appreciate that. I'm going to take Julie real quickly here, because if a guy said this, there would be some real backlash. But Julie's saying this, and this is this is her observation. Don't get me in trouble with this. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
Okay, so you, one might say, because of your femininity, your femaleness, mm-hmm. you have license to say this. Go ahead.
Okay, real quick, as an aside to that other caller who mentioned the phrase memento mori, mm-hmm. I believe that was St. Teresa of Avila who had a skull on her desk to remind herself of one day she's going to die, memento mori. But yeah, she didn't get a tattoo of a skull. She just had an actual skull on her desk, St. Teresa of Avila, if I'm not mistaken. But anyways, okay, back to the tattoo issue. I do think there's a big difference between men having a tattoo and women having a tattoo. I think, for example, when you see on a military man, like if he's in the Navy, if he has an anchor or, you know, a heart with mom on it, you know, he's someone who's serving his country. He's away from his family. And I think that's a very masculine statement, as long as he doesn't go overboard with it. But women... I guess what I think they should think of is this going to detract from my body or is it going to make me beautiful? And I'll tell you, when I saw a wedding party recently, and a lot of the bridesmaids and the bride herself were quite chunky, and they probably shouldn't have been in a strapless gown to begin with, but not only did they have the chunky shoulders that they could have hidden because it just stood out, you know, they had back shoulder blade tattoos, and I'm thinking it just doesn't go. If you're a woman and you want to one day walk down the aisle and look beautiful, why detract with color on your skin? And that comment, not to fat shame anybody, but you know, some people have a
I wanted to hear what you had to say, but I'm going to have to let you go because I'm way past break. I just want to say this, though. I thought you had an interesting choice of words when you said men in the Navy get an anchor as long as they don't go overboard. Just pick that up there, Julie. I don't know if you meant it, but I thought it was rather cute. Thanks, Julie. This is Dr. Ray.
Hi, this is Deacon Tom Lowy with Notes from Above.
And I'm Sister Sarah Burdick. Hey, Deacon Tom.
Yeah?
Do you remember the show when you were setting up this incredible fanfare? You're like, buckle your seatbelts, turn the volume down just a little bit because we have an amazing fanfare. It's going to come on. Well, it was the wrong track.
I remember that.
It wasn't Steve's fault, but I thought I was going to die laughing because it wasn't a big fanfare. It was... And I remember Steve came into our headsets and he said, do you want me to fix that? And I said, please don't. Please don't.
Leave that. You have to leave that. Well, listen, we want to invite you all to come out to our Ave Maria Radio's 25th anniversary. It's going to be the last weekend in August in Ann Arbor.
That's right. So go to AveMariaRadio.net.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
Do you ever find yourself confessing the same sin over and over again? Mine is directly related to what I do for a living, communicate, and sometimes my mouth can get me in trouble. It's amazing what situations God may put us in, or how the very gifts we're blessed with can sometimes be a major bump in the road. As a trained strengths coach, I know that our strengths can hinder us if we're not careful with how we use them. As I become stronger in my faith, my communication vocation and ministry has much more value to me. The church holds in high regard those who preach and teach the good news, especially parents. And in some way, we're all evangelizing. I use a radio platform and my speaking voice to do so. Yet that same voice sometimes causes me to sin. With confession, focusing on Christ, and discernment, that sin is committed less often. So let's focus our strengths on glorifying God. This has been a Christ Center Communication Message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist and host of Epiphany.
Apologies to the folks we're not going to get to. Summarize it. There were more calls up there that I regret getting the tattoos that I got. There were other calls up there that said people sometimes do this for something in their lives that was hurtful or negative or something worth remembering. But I want to hear what Matt has to say. He has reasons. He's offering some biological reasons why, and this goes against what I think Mike was saying, that tattoos can fade over time. Hi, Matt.
How you doing?
Okay.
I appreciate your show. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a dentist, so I studied a lot of cellular biology in undergrad and dental school. One of the reasons I was taught that tattoos fade is because there are these specialized cells called macrophages that try and digest foreign things in our body and bugs and different stuff like that. So the reason tattoos fade is, one, if they're in a high wear situation, like, you know, your ankle that gets rubbed a lot. But the other is these macrophages try and they'll like bite off or engulf a little bit of dye, try and digest that ink. It can't do it, and so it just kind of spits it out and moves on, and so that's why those edges fade. And the other thing is, they'll tell you roofing material, oh, this is the latest and greatest, it's going to last 50 years. Well, you don't know until 20 years later that, well, they were just trying to sell roofing material or tattoos. The other thing that I was going to add, if it's okay, is I'm one of seven. Three siblings are addicted to tattoos and get them all the time. So my younger sister just recently got one, another one. She gets religious ones too, but my mother passed away 5 years ago. So my sister just got another tattoo that is three flowers in a bouquet. One is the flower of her month. One is the flower of her daughter's month. And the other is the flower of my mom's month, birth month. And I'm sitting there thinking in my head, and it's beyond giving her advice anymore. But if you want to honor my mom, you would go on a mission trip with people because that's what my mom did, or you'd join a prayer group, or you would volunteer at Birthright. I mean, those are the ways that you remember and honor my mom, not getting a tattoo, which she wouldn't have liked in the first place.
Well, always wonder what the real motive is. I want another tattoo, so what I'll do is I'll get a tattoo that I say honors somebody so people can't give me grief about it, especially my brother, my dentist brother. So therefore, yeah. I'll just say, hey, how could you say that you don't want me to have this emotional attachment to my children and our mother? Matt, quick question, though, about the macrophages. Those are the big, big white cells that just go in there, and they really just kind of chomp anything that's foreign. Are you saying, unlike what Mike said, which is, oh, yeah, we got new dyes now that don't fade, we got new ways of doing this that don't fade, it doesn't matter to the macrophages. They see a foreign substance no matter how technologically sophisticated it might be, and they're going to chomp on it anyway.
That's the way I understand it. I mean, the only thing you could do differently is get a biocompatible ink that macrophages don't think is foreign, but to me that would be less substantive and fade even more because it would be, I don't know, recycled in the body or something like that.
Well, that's interesting, too, because I had never heard that kind of explanation as to why. I just thought, okay, they fade with time like everything does, or in fact the skin shifts, or there is a replacement of the skin cells, all of that. But indeed, the body's saying, you know, I really don't want you here.
Hey, absolutely.
Fascinating. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate that very much. 1 minute left. All right, let's go. Instead of the regretful tattoos, and we also have a comment about sacredness of one's body, which means nothing to those who are not of that religious mindset. There was a comment earlier talking about the Old Testament says don't get tattoos, but I think the context of that was the pagan message of the tattoos, okay? I'm not sure that it was talking about a flower on someone's body. Real quick, let's see. Cynthia, Spring, Texas. Real quick, Cynthia, you only got 30 seconds. Go for it.
Oh, well, it's about a tattoo that seems to represent overcoming a traumatic childhood, and is worn with pride on the forearm. And that's just it. I'm just saying that was. And my dad was Jewish, and I've seen someone with the, you know, the numbers from the Holocaust.
Sure.
And
sure.
Camp. So
sure.
I just don't
okay.
know if, you know.
Thank you, Cynthia. Thank you. Got to run. This is Dr. Ray. Sorry I didn't get to you. Walk with God. Hold your children, if you got them, tightly by the hand.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.